Today on Seculo, Nancy Pelosi to U.S. Olympians, shut up and don't anger the ruthless Chinese.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
As you all probably know, though, depending on where you are in the country, you may not have seen the Olympic Games opening ceremonies began when it was our time this morning on the eastern part of the United States. If you're out on the West Coast, you may not have seen it. It'll replay again tonight. But yesterday, Nancy Pelosi was asked in a press conference, she made this statement, a warning, really, to U.S. athletes, which to me underscores the reason why the whole world should have said, we're not going to go to China, who originated COVID-19, who is engaged in a genocide against its Muslim minority population, the Uyghurs. We're just not going. And the few countries that would have gone, again, we've seen that happen before. We could have hosted a different games, or we've seen a lot of these games were all postponed and extended because of the virus. And there's athletes continuing to test positive who have been working hard to try, you know, to compete for their country who may not have that opportunity now because of COVID. So instead of saying, let's get through this, pushed it again, allowing a country like China. And I wanted you to listen to Nancy Pelosi's words, because I said ruthless in the opening because that's how she described the Chinese Communist Party and Xi Jinping and the government there, which is hosting, while we're not sending any U.S. government representatives, our athletes are there, of course. Take a listen to Nancy Pelosi.
I would say to our athletes, you're there to compete. Do not risk incurring the anger of the Chinese government because they are ruthless.
First of all, if that's the case, which it is, that they are ruthless, but they're ruthless on a world stage, you're going to be less likely to cause problems. So we're sending our athletes to a communist regime. And we're also telling them, while you're there, act like a communist. Don't say anything. I mean, think about this for a moment. Be athletic, but don't make any political statements. Which, by the way, if you follow the history of the Olympics, there's been a lot of political statements
made. A lot of political statements made by the Chinese in their opening ceremonies.
They sure did not hesitate.
Some of you, I encourage people, actually, I know some people are saying don't watch it. This is one I think you might want to watch later on today when it's rebroadcast in primetime. They addressed their one-child policy, which is now a three-child policy. They had a Uyghur, who they're committing genocide against, but they used a Uyghur athlete to light the torch, and they told all the reporters were told this is what's happening. You weren't just coming up with this while you watched it. You were being told this by NBC, and even that it was pretty objectionable to the NBC reporters that were there on the ground. These are well-known names. They were pretty shocked that the Chinese would take a Uyghur, put that in that position. But what the Chinese are saying is they're not denying. Some of the NBC said, they're denying that they're committing this genocide. That's not what it is. This is a flex to the world saying, we're converting these Uyghurs into good Communist Party members. And then when they're converted, they get to be on the team.
Yeah, that's what actually this is all about. But I go back to the beginning of this segment, which we just started. You got the Speaker of the House, third away from the President of the United States, telling our athletes, make sure you don't engage in free speech activities, as if you're an American and might engage in free speech activities. So, in other words, when you go to communist China, act like a communist Chinese. That's what they're saying. When you go to communist China, act like you're a communist Chinese. That's what they think is the way in which this should be handled, instead of saying, as Mike Pompeo said, why are we putting our athletes in this mess in the first place, including the fact that not only the Uyghurs and genocide, but the creators of COVID.
And she went on to say, we'll play when we come back, that your family could be in danger as well. They're not in China. But that's the kind of power that we're giving, that we believe the Chinese Communist Party has. If Olympic athletes said anything about what was going on in China and the human rights abuses, that their family, who's probably in the United States, would be in danger, and like the U.S. government couldn't protect them. I want to take your calls on this. Do you believe that that the U.S. should be there? The Western world should even be at these Olympics? COVID, genocide, Nancy Pelosi's own word, ruthless. Ruthless government. 1-800-684-3110. We want your thoughts. 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Seculo. I want you to listen to this follow-up. So Nancy Pelosi first said, remember, you know, I would say to athletes, you're there to compete. Don't risk the incurring the anger of the Chinese government because they are ruthless. She goes on to make this warning. I mean, think about this. She's got all the intel. She gets all the classified info, like almost as much as the President of the United States being Speaker of the House. Listen to Byte 13.
I know there is a temptation on the part of some to speak out while they are there. I respect that, but I also worry about what the Chinese government might do to their reputations, to their families.
So she's not just worried that you might get in trouble, the athlete there, like, disappeared to a U.S. athlete. And what she's saying, which I would have to do more research on to know that I would imagine we have some significant security for our athletes.
I would.
That's U.S.
Yeah, of course.
And that if they had a problem with them, even the Chinese, I think, would rather ignore those kind of problems and just... They wouldn't show it on their media.
Of course not.
But the fact that that's a very scary statement right there, because that applies to all of us when dealing with China. What she's saying, if you have any kind of platform and you take on the Chinese, your reputation and your family can be in danger.
So here's what I'm saying.
Their families aren't there.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean they're going
to
attack them.
That means they can get to you here.
Here's what I want to say to Nancy Pelosi. What a lack of leadership on her behalf. That we are warning our athletes to surrender their First Amendment free speech rights as American citizens because they're going to communist China. And I go back to what I said in the beginning. So act like a member of the Chinese Communist Party. And Wes, when I think about that, Colonel Smith, I think we have reached a new point of ridiculous if that is the way we're instructing our athletes to act.
Absolutely. And it begs the question, and why are we there? Why is the International Olympic Committee allowing them to host? Why are all the corporate sponsors from America helping to sponsor the Olympics? I mean, think about it, Jay. They're the world's largest abuser of human rights. They commit genocide. There are 1 million of their own citizens in what they call re-education camps. It's a concentration camp, a prison. Internet fraud, intellectual property theft. They threaten Taiwan. They use slave labor to put products all around the world that we all buy. Vladimir Putin is no saint, Jay,
no.
But he is an altar boy compared to President Xi and the Chinese communists.
Listen, this is one of the strongest governments in the world. This is the superpower that is our real competition and real enemy. And look at everything you're holding in your hand, or you're writing on pieces of paper, or that you are buying at your store, and most of it's coming from China. So we have a really great – a lot of people are calling in with questions on all this, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. And this is the government that unleashed COVID on the world.
Yeah, I mean, in Nancy Pelosi's own words, ruthless. Ruthless. She said also, she goes on to say that they're committing a genocide. This is a country. I'll play this and we'll get to the phone calls. Because, again, you're hearing this from Nancy Pelosi. On the one hand, I detest that she says to these our athletes, shut up. I do think it's very telling, though, that take out all the partisan politics about Nancy Pelosi for this part, about how worried she is, how scared of the Chinese she is, that she feels like she needs to use her platform to warn people about how dangerous the Chinese are. Take a listen to this one, Byte 18.
When the Olympic Winter Committees begin tomorrow in Beijing, the Chinese government once again attempt to distract the world from a decades-long campaign of abuse and repression. But the United States and the international community know the truth. The People's Republic of China is perpetrating a campaign of gross human rights violations, including genocide.
I mean, really right there, even when the Olympics were in Berlin in 1936, right. The Holocaust had not begun.
No, but persecution of the Jews had just started.
But,
right.
But the genocide had not begun.
Right.
We are in a country that the U.S. government, along with the United Nations,
yes.
has recognized is committing genocide against
today.
Its people right now, re-education camps, forced sterilization. And they utilized the opening ceremony to have a person from that group who you know has no rights and is an Olympian for China to light the torch at the end, sending a message to the world of, one, see, we can re-educate them and we can make them good communists, and two, call us out all you want, you can't do anything about it. I think this is an interesting call from Joseph in California on line one, because this is the whole issue. Hey, Joseph, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Look, I'm with you guys. I am a conservative. I am with you. But here's the thing. We all talk. Okay, human rights. I understand the Olympics. To be honest, I'm not really a big fan of the Olympics. But if we're going to talk about Pelosi, just mentioning that, what about the fact that we all have communist phones in our pockets, phones that are made in China?
Yeah.
We all have, I'm sure, a piece of clothing on that has made in China.
Go ahead, Joseph. Go ahead. I just said the same thing, by the way, but go ahead.
No, I know. But then if that's the fact, why is what Pelosi said all of that big of a deal?
I think this is this.
Anyway?
She recognized not just
China's not a
place that you want to speak out in, that the U.S. can't protect you, that they can come after your family in the United States, that they are ruthless, and she confirmed that they're committing genocide. So that's why I think those are big statements. It's not just they're not a great human rights country and they're different than the United States and they're on a different path towards human rights. They're not on the path towards being good. They're not trying to improve. They actually are acting more extreme, and they've done this before. Now, I believe this. At some point, the U.S. has to cut the losses, increase our own domestic manufacturing, work with countries like Mexico, who are friends, who have those capabilities too. And it could be painful, but we've already seen massive inflation right now, and so that we can cut off the Chinese when we need to. That doesn't mean
you can't do it now.
No, we can't right now.
That's
We don't even have a plan to do that.
Well, we were energy independent a year and a half ago. We're not energy independent anymore. We are in a situation where our manufacturing was coming back to the United States under the previous administration, and now it's not. I mean, the Democratic Party knows that they've got a major, major problem here. The problem is the communist Chinese government. She's right. West, they are ruthless. It is enemy one of the United States.
Absolutely. And Joseph, he articulated quite well the moral dilemma. We know who they are. We know what they do. And yet the world is strapped to and held hostage economically by the Chinese communists. So how do we extricate ourselves? And I think we need to. If the world would unite and take a stand and cut China off economically, quit buying their products, quit doing those kinds of things, it would make a difference. But the world, Jay, is not willing to do that.
We had an administration that was putting us on that path with President Trump. So whatever you want to say about the Trump administration, if you look at the policies, they were pretty good. We were energy independent. Manufacturing had returned to the United States. But the problem is, as Wes just said, if you're taking a prescription medication, an antibiotic, it's probably coming out of China. If you got your free government COVID test, guess where it was produced?
In your mask?
Yeah. It was produced by the people that created the virus, the Chinese government. So, I mean, understand what we're dealing with here. So, and then telling your athletes, just when you go over there, just don't say anything.
Well, I think what it does, the Olympic, it puts a spotlight on them. And I think we can utilize that to educate everybody. Let's take this time, agree or disagree, the athletes are there now. The Olympics have started. That's why, and we're talking about the opening ceremony because China decided to make it a political opening ceremony. It wasn't just a positive message about athletes. Who is the other featured world leader there alongside Xi? Putin.
That was some statement,
by the way. Who closed his eyes and leaned back in his chair when the Ukrainians walked in, the Ukrainian athletes walked in. The Uyghur lighting the torch. I mean, there were political statements. So if you want to say, don't politicize sports, this is the Olympics. It's run by countries. They politicize it. And in the United States, when we host these games, we take a more of a backseat approach because we love everybody. We love freedom. And right. I mean, could you imagine if you lived in a country where you said, if you go there, we can't protect you and we're ruthless. I mean, we wouldn't want to live in that country. America wouldn't want to be that. It doesn't mean we're perfect. Along, we've had our own athletes protest the United States. In 1936, Jesse Owens, he was famous for saluting in Nazi Germany. I think we could have that image up, or we could do it and come back. And then in the 60s, 1968, you had the famous Black Power statement during the Civil Rights Movement in America. U.S. athletes have not been afraid to speak out. But you know what? When they were speaking out there, the message was really to their own country.
Right.
A country that even in the midst of those times when it was not equal, not even on that path yet, they still felt like they could speak out.
Well, that's because they lived in the United States of America, where you can speak out. So we're, like I said, we're telling our athletes, when you go to China, act like a communist and respect their authority and regime because they're dangerous and evil. And just, don't say anything that would be reflective of your political viewpoints, your religious viewpoints. Act like a Chinese communist. Say nothing. But go ahead and perform and do your athletics. And I wish them the best, our athletes.
I see most of these athletes will never get the platform there to do this. No. They're not going to win the event. Right. They're not household names. They're great athletes. They worked really hard, but they're not going to be people that you know. You know that handful of athletes who might make it to the podium, and I think then it's still up to them. I'm not saying they should be forced to make statements.
Right. Here we go.
Either.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Secular. We're going to go right to your phone calls as well. Now, I did want to do this reminder. Let's get the images up. So this is throughout history, U.S. athletes outside the United States, but when they've had the platforms, that's Jesse Owens in 1936. You see Heil Hitler. You see Japanese. Okay, so you see the Axis
in the United
powers.
States.
And the United States won. He was in the military.
And he
it was an early civil rights move. It was a very early civil rights move. That message was as much to the U.S. government.
To President Roosevelt.
As it was to Hitler.
But he did salute.
Yes, it took a different move. Now, fast forward almost 30 years to 1968, Mexico City. So, do we have that image? Okay, so can we pull it? It's a quick pull. But anyways, that image, everybody knows. The Black Power. Fist up. And it was Tommy Smith and John Carlos because they came in first and third.
Right.
Again, they weren't in the U.S.
Right.
They didn't wait to get home to send their message. They used literally a platform.
Right. That's what using your platform means.
Internationally about right. the fight that they were engaged in
for civil rights
at their home.
For civil rights. But we're telling the United States when you go over there, and there's that picture right now. And it's a famous picture because and it was controversial at the time.
Oh, 1960 the U.S.
Listen, Jesse Owens saluting. You got the Heil Hitler going on to the Jesse Owens' left. Let's put that one back up on the screen. And you got, I mean, look who was up there. You're right, Jordan. The Japanese, the Germans, and the United States. We're on the top of the podium because we won the event. Jesse Owens does an American salute. The German athlete does Heil Hitler. And today we're saying to our athletes that this regime is worse than the Nazis because it's even more dangerous.
Yeah, we were about to go to war with both of those countries represented by the other athletes. How did we get to this point is what I wonder. Unfortunately, you can't make this stuff up. And this is an indictment on all of the Western world. Dollars and cheap products trump our morals and our compassion.
No, you're right. That's 100% correct. All right, let's say we have a lot of calls coming in. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the opening ceremonies being played primetime tonight, they've already happened. You'll see a lot of this very interesting.
Yeah, I would actually care. I'm not one of those people who says you have to boycott, watch it, because I think China made it political today. I mean, so you should watch to see how they use this for propaganda. Because they're sending all these messages, Putin's sending all these messages as well. Let's go to Alice in Colorado online for Hey, Alice.
Hey.
You're on the air.
Well, I was just comment on Pelosi, and I was also commenting that our American young people over there will do fine. They're smart enough to know more than what people take them for, and they're not going to cause problems there. They know they're in another country, which cannot help them being there instead of here. So I just want to say something such as that. I appreciate our American people going over there because they worked very hard for what they're doing. But under the circumstance, I think some of the government people here need to keep their mouth quiet because it's only important that they don't cause problems for them, for those Americans over there doing what they need to do. And that's pretty much what I have to say because I was very distraught about the fact that she had brought that up about right in the middle of everything, and that was not right.
Well, I think that it was concerning when she says they're ruthless and they'll come after your family. I mean, like you said, I don't think that those athletes were worried in Germany that Hitler was going to come after their family in the U.S. while we were on a path towards World War at that time.
Right.
But I said the difference is this. These athletes, like you said, they worked to get there. They're not just tourists. They deserve
to be there.
They're
not the guests of the Chinese government.
No, the Chinese decided to host an international event.
And they got picked
to select. So if you host an international event, you should be held to international norms and practices, which include the right to freedom of speech and dissent.
Yeah, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
I mean, if you're going to host an international event.
If you're part of the international bodies. Now, what's so interesting about this, they're not the guests of the Chinese government. They have earned it. China miraculously ends up getting selected to host the Olympics. You go figure that out in the middle of all this. And that would have been an easy thing, by the way, for the world to say, you know what, I know you spent all this money getting ready for the Olympics. We spent a lot of money, too, trying to keep our people alive. We're not going to have it there. We'll do it someplace else. But I want to say something else. Jordan, you said this earlier. We have been at an event in Beijing where we've been the guests of the government.
Yeah, that's a different statement.
So it was on.
Because we weren't tourists.
We were there as guests of government on legal matters involving free speech, religious freedom.
Yes, and so we were speaking at state universities. And so there was...
With the Attorney General of China.
It was clear what you could and couldn't do, but we decided to accept that to get the experience so we could be on this broadcast every day talking about these kind of things. So we're at Peking University. That's like their Harvard, but it's state-run completely. And it was a conference where you were allowed to talk about U.S. human rights, but it was kind of a nod to say the fact they were even allowing that discussion with Chinese students allowed the discussion about what human rights means.
There were thousands of people there, but I'll tell you what was the most encouraging to me was when we met with lawyers from the underground church movement.
Yeah, I mean,
and so that's why we went. When that invitation, we said,
so we still didn't follow all the rules, right, even while we were there. I don't know if we'd get a visa again to China.
But probably not.
But our athletes, they earned their spot there. Unlike us, who were brought in to speak at a university, still did things that they wouldn't have liked, likely, but it just didn't tell them about. And it is a massive surveillance state. That was years ago when this technology, and you still, you know, it was hard to get on your social media apps. They tried to get you to use, remember they put a computer in your hotel room and said, use this computer? I mean, they were doing those things then. But I will say it was a difference. If, for instance, they had found out that we had met with those house church pastors, they could have kicked us out under their rule. And we were there under their visa alone. We were not there because we earned the right to represent our country as an athlete, nor were we diplomats from our country either who have those kind of protections.
What's fascinating?
Yes, you can learn. Would I go back there right now?
No.
Because I think that it's like... We've seen, they have positioned themselves, even though economically I know and business, they've positioned themselves as almost like an enemy of the United States. It's pretty close.
I think, look, when you saw the picture of Xi and Putin, you then wonder two things. One is, I'm not saying the Biden administration was wrong with not going because, you could have boycotted the whole thing. But on the world stage, he would have been nice if he made a statement. And maybe they're going to today, supporting our athletes, but coming down hard on the regime. Maybe they're going to take Pelosi's advice and not say anything because they're afraid to say anything.
She still was pretty hard on the regime, though.
Yeah.
So she was saying, she called him ruthless. She called him committing genocide. It just doesn't all add up then. Why do you, why do you cover for Eric Swalwell? Why do you cover for those members of Congress who have been infiltrated by the Chinese, at least not be honest and open about the fact that they're going after your own members of your own party, Nancy Pelosi. And they have been doing that for years. We're going to take more of your phone calls when we come back. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. I think, again, you could say it's wrong to have a country like this get to host us because they're committing genocide. I mean, that's not a difficult statement to make. Second statement would be they're responsible for COVID. Whether you believe lab leak theories, other theories, it originated there, and it's still putting our athletes, who are, everybody's testing constantly there. They've had to try to do a zero COVID event. That hasn't worked. So for all of you who say, well, our athletes work so hard to be there, in another year, could this have been a safer environment anywhere else in the world because of maybe we would have been past COVID? And had better, even more knowledge about what they were facing. But again, we'll take your phone calls when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. We've had people like Mike Pompeo have been very vocal about it at ACLJ.org. Check it out. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-31. Till we started the show, let me play it for you. Because this is Nancy Pelosi. We got a lot of phone calls about it. There's more news to get to, but as well, we've got the calls. We'll continue to talk this. But I want to set the stage for people. So let's play the first bite from Nancy Pelosi, where she calls the Chinese ruthless and tells our athletes, you know, even if you feel like you should, and again, that's only going to be a handful of a few people who will even have the stage to possibly do that. And I still say they should not be forced. No one should be forced to make statements. But how concerned she is for them. And I believe her concern here. I think she's, in a sense, she's being honest and open. But if it's true, that's very scary. Take a listen by 12.
I would say to our athletes, you're there to compete. Do not risk incurring the anger of the Chinese government because they are ruthless.
Just ruthless to you. She goes on to say they could come after your family. Not saying that your family has to be in China for them to come after, but anywhere in the world, by 13.
I know there is a temptation on the part of some to speak out while they are there. I respect that, but I also worry about what the Chinese government might do to their reputations, to their families.
So just take that in for a second, that she's concerned about what they may do to their families. And then she does, again, I'm resetting this for people because we're continuing on with this. We got a lot of phone calls about it. We're going to get to your phone calls. She ends it with the acknowledgement. So not only are they ruthless, not only can they come after your family, wherever your family is, but they're also committing genocide. Bite 18.
When the Olympic Winter Committees begin tomorrow in Beijing, the Chinese government once again attempt to distract the world from a decades-long campaign of abuse and repression. But the United States and the international community know the truth. The People's Republic of China is perpetrating a campaign of gross human rights violations, including genocide.
So we know that they'll come after you. They're ruthless. They'll come after your family. They'll come after your reputation. That means that they will propaganda you into
what's a threat.
You know, they'll hack your phone, make you know, put the statements.
But we told them not
here.
To bring their phones.
Yeah, they'll accuse you of things. Yeah, they told them to use a temporary phone. Even where you walk near the Chinese embassy in Washington, D.C.,
they tell you,
they say, shut off your phone.
Right.
If you go inside the embassy, which I have been, they say, leave your phone in the car.
Right.
Because they will literally steal all of your IP, all of your intellectual property, all of your data, because they also are engaged in criminal conduct like the North Koreans in stealing your data, and they're part of that regime that does the phony charges on your card, tries to steal your credit card data.
Yeah, so what you've got, but the I think the tragic part of all of this is it takes so much away from these Olympians who have worked so hard to get there. And why did the world just allow this to happen? And that's because, let's face it, the International Olympic Committee has been fraught with corruption for many, many decades.
Yeah, the Russians are not even, now Putin's there, but they're not technically under the Russian flag.
Right.
They're the Russian Olympic Committee.
Right.
You know, you're right. You're exactly right. And I did look it up just now. Beijing is the only city to host both the Summer Olympics 2008, Winter Olympics now, is what this report says. But yeah, the bottom line, the blame belongs with the IOC. They allowed this to happen. And then maybe some blame also goes to all the corporations around the world who could have told the IOC, if you put it there, we will not pay the bills. Those two people are more culpable than anyone else, those two groups.
Yeah, there's all this cancel culture on advertising, but they're not going to do it for the cars and the Apple or one of these other companies.
They're not standing up for the Muslims in China.
No, of course not.
And I mean, they made that the statement at the end of the opening ceremony, which you can watch tonight again. You'll see and you'll hear it read out. A Uyghur Muslim female athlete. Part of lighting the torch. It's, you know, the final moment of the opening ceremony. And the Chinese Communist Party put that into the script that all the reporters are reading, so you know what's going on, what is this supposed to be that we're watching right now, and they read that from them. That was their final statement to the world. We can re-educate that population. We can force them into this view. We'll come back, we'll take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, we're going to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Deb in Oregon on line 3. Hey, Deb, welcome to Seculo. Thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Thanks so much. Jordan J., Seculo staff, thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
I do not support anything related to the Olympics in China. I will not watch any of it. If I were an athlete, I would have refused to go despite all the sacrifice. And I believe that Nancy Pelosi should know the danger based on how much she is purported to have received from China in the way of money, only next to Biden.
So let me give you my view on the athlete situation, because I understand, Deb, what you're saying. I am watching the Olympics because I am supporting the athletes. The United States did not boycott the games officially. We did a diplomatic boycott. So we know how hard those athletes work. So yesterday was figure skating, and I watched it, and I was rooting for the Americans. I don't like that it's in China. I don't like what the Chinese Communist Party is doing, but I do want to show. But I think everybody makes their own decision. I don't like seeing ads. I mean, I know NBC probably couldn't afford to do it this way, but what they should have done is just run the Olympics. You know? Just run the Olympics. Don't make it a financial thing. But, of course, they've got to make it a financial thing. That's really the problem.
Yeah, and whether or not to watch it, whether or not you think the athletes should go, all of that, it's a tough call. It's a very personal call, but yeah.
I don't think there's a right or wrong.
No, there's not. There's not. The larger question is, forget the Olympics momentarily, how do we extricate ourselves from China economically? How do we start calling for change and affecting change for the people in China who are suffering at the hands of their own government, especially the genocide that's going on with the Uyghurs?
That's the real moral question. Issue. It is a moral issue.
Well, they had an opportunity, the Chinese. They've been opening up since the 1960s. They had an opportunity to choose which path they want to go. And there was a time of a gray area, and then Xi came in, and they chose.
Yeah.
They chose to go into the path of Mao in a more modern way, but in that kind of repressive way to their own people.
Mm-hmm.
You must be in line with the party or else.
Yeah.
They decided that. They had a moment where, I mean, economically, they had all this manufacturing going. Yeah, they need to improve the human rights in their own factories, but they still would have been an economic powerhouse. They could have moved the way of the West. They decided to reject the West. And if you watch the opening ceremony, that's the message. So I would actually encourage people who might have even thought about boycotting it, it's not going to change NBC's bottom line or the Chinese. All the, you know, anybody who says sports is not political, it's become highly political. And the countries themselves, including the host country here, decided to make it about that. They made it about the Uyghurs. They closed it out about the Uyghurs. They made it about their policies about how many kids you can have. They decided to make that statement. So I think if you go back in 2008, you would not have seen the politics of their opening ceremony the same way.
No, the fact, well, let's be honest.
On top of that,
yes,
there's a lot of people in the U.S. who now that they don't take that theory off the internet when you say it, believe that they created it. And still, thousands of people every day are dying, just in our country.
3,500 yesterday.
It's disrupting life still. It disrupted the economy. That alone should have been enough, right? Add a genocide on top of that? You know, the fact that the U.S. couldn't put a big enough coalition of countries together to say, we're not going here, and basically tell the IOC, move it. So it not get in the Jimmy Carter situation, but move it.
So here's the problem. It is like the inability of the current administration to get NATO together on Russia and Ukraine.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of problem. They are not getting coalitions together. And that is the problem. But we got a lot of calls, 800-684-3110. Let's take another phone call.
Curtis in Texas, online too. Hey, Curtis, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Curtis from Texas. Just wanted to state about what Nancy said. I think it's totally disgusting that they throw their politics in the games. That statement should have been private with the athletes and not made it public.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. What happened is the ridiculous part of the statement is dictating to U.S. citizens who are there not as guests, not as tourists, because I think then you'd be right. You'd say, you know, if you're a guest or a tourist on some other country's visa and you decide to go there on your own will or you're there for business visa, you abide by their rules or else. And the U.S. may try to help you, but they can't guarantee. This is different. Our athletes are there because they earned a spot. Their politics, their personal politics don't matter. Their race doesn't matter. Even now, I guess, you know, you see on the skating, their gender doesn't matter. I mean, you've got those statements being made. So there are athletes who have decided to make, if you will, some kind of statement. There's a male figure skater who say he's non-binary. He told the media to say that about him or her. I don't know which word to use, them. That's a statement.
Yes.
That he's also using the platform. So would Nancy Pelosi tell that figure skater
not to say that?
Don't say non-binary because that may upset the Chinese too, because these are countries that say, like, homosexuality doesn't exist,
right?
Like Putin says,
and that it should be criminalized,
right?
So, I mean, the tragedy. I said this earlier, and Wes, I go back to it. The idea is when we go to China, act like the Communist Chinese Party.
Absolutely,
and it's pretty tragic.
It is very tragic. People are suffering and dying in China at the hands of their own government. The world, you know, I don't know if we will or not. It's not looking hopeful. But the world needs to stand up because long term, we will regret not taking a stand against this brutal regime that is bent not just on, you know, controlling their own country. They're bent on world domination economically, militarily, philosophically, politically. It may take 20 years, 30 years, but the world will regret that we did not, you know, take a stand and take a moral stand as well as a political stand against the Chinese government. They are brutal. And the only reason they're not brutal to the rest of the world yet is because they don't control the rest of the world.
Let's go to Mark in Colorado, online one. Hey, Mark, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Hey, good job, guys. I love you. Appreciate it. Hey, and I just think that Nancy Pelosi is one of those people who can say whatever she wants with no repercussion at all. But the fact is, isn't this the communist way you accuse the other person of the same stuff or worse that you're doing?
Well, that's what they do. I mean, when we have to file our reports at the United Nations, and when we point out the religious liberty abuses or the lack of religious liberty in China or the human rights abuses in China, they come back and say, well, look what you're doing in the United States. They constantly do that. That is in their DNA on how to approach these things. Oh, we're bad, you think? You're bad, too. And the fact of the matter is, okay, we're not perfect. We are not the communist Chinese.
No, we don't engage in genocide against people groups. We don't.
Right.
We this is 2022. They're engaged in a genocide. Okay, so they could go back and say, "Oh, you've got a racial history." That's a history. Currently, they're engaged in a genocide. So, and the world has agreed to that definition that what they're doing is genocide. It's re-education camps,
international
forced sterilization. And by the way, it's a Muslim minority. You would think this would be right. Why is it only us? Why is it the right who is the only group standing up for, we're supposed to be the Islamophobic ones. And yet we clearly stand up and say, you don't get to ever treat a people group this way, regardless of their religious views. Regardless, who cares what their religion is? You don't get to treat people that way. The whole world should be, most of the free world should be able to agree on that. But like many of the callers have mentioned, so many of these people have so much financial interest in China. And not just they get their goods from there.
Yep.
Personal financial interest in China.
We're going to take your calls at 800-684-3110. I want to take Tandy on line three, Jordan.
All right, Tandy calling from Kentucky. You're on the air, Tandy.
Hi, thank you all for all the work you do, and I depend a lot on you all for information.
Thank you.
My question is, I wonder what the American response would be and the Chinese response would be if a Christian athlete wanted to take his Holy Bible to read at night, etc.
Well, you know, good question, because it used to be if you were going to China, you know what they told you not to take? Your Bible. Because, you know, you had the whole Bible smuggling 1960s, 1970s, 1980s.
I don't know what we told the athletes about religious texts, because it wouldn't just be the Bible. It would also be the
Quran, religious texts, yeah. Right.
Since they're committing a genocide. And another religion, any kind of religion, they oppose, because that's
against the Communist Party.
Their religion is the party.
Right.
Which everybody understands through communism. I mean, they've really fully embraced communism once again with this, but they've been allowed by the world to be part of the manufacturing and the commercial
side of
the
slave labor.
World. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they're using slave labor. So, of course, they are part of the world economy. But that's where we have to, like you said, at some point you got to get leadership in there. Says, you know what, we're going to have to get manufacturing back here. You know what, it may be more expensive. That's right. That's part of the cost of living in a free society.
There are also other developing world countries that the labor would still be cheaper, but it wouldn't be slave labor. The conditions, there's India, there's Vietnam, there's...
You're starting to see that.
Yes, if you start looking at your goods, actually the Chinese goods are some of the more expensive.
Yes.
They've become the hype, the cell phone tech, the right. chips, the high tech. If you start looking at more of like your fabrics and things like that, you'll actually see a lot of that's coming out of other countries. I think you could incentivize Mexico and other countries. So if you've got a developing country that needs those kind of jobs, plenty of them.
Absolutely. Folks, we want to take your calls in the last segment. Your reaction to all this, we're giving you some in-depth analysis. That's 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We're going to continue taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We've got to get into, I think maybe we'll get into it Monday, this, the way that the Biden team has been treating the U.S. media for even questioning some of the reporting about like the what appeared to be the success. It was a successful U.S. military mission to take out the head of ISIS, but then some of this reporting about civilian casualties. They tied it to the fact that there was that horrible tragedy where an entire family was killed by a U.S. drone strike because of bad intel. So the reporters had a reason to be asking about it. They said, well, go believe ISIS. And then a separate time, they were asking about, remember the Russian video we talked about yesterday that supposedly Russia was going to use a false flag type operation? And so the reporter said, well, you declassified it to tell us. Can you give us a little bit more info about that? And they said, well, if you don't believe us and you don't believe the intel community, which is kind of a scary statement, because they could have been making this up, too, to put pressure on Russia. You could imagine why. Then you're an agent of the Kremlin. So I think what the media got, is they're sick and tired a little bit of just saying, every time you want to blame, so you blame it, a U.S. problem on Russia. Remember, because the dossier being disproven and those people getting in trouble still are.
That's a lot of problem for the media.
They all had to go back and recorrect stories years. Yeah. They literally had to go to their websites and rewrite news reports so that it wasn't violating the law.
You know, if I ever wrote a book, which I'm not, and went through the nature of the allegations and what ended up having to be over the period of time were proven wrong, which we handled the case correctly for the president, it's unbelievable. So, of course, there's questions, but we got a lot of questions coming in on this, so let's deal with this as well.
Yep, let's go to Larry in Ohio online too. Hey, Larry.
Hi, guys. Thanks for all that you do for us. It's greatly appreciated. And I just have to say that Nancy Pelosi has once again infuriated me with her snide remarks and her condescending attitude towards the American people.
I don't understand why she had to say that. Say what she said about China wasn't wrong, but then trying to silence our athletes and scare them out of speaking their mind if they get the opportunity. And you know, as reported, this the one time they may win a medal. And they get to go to the press room, and that may be the only time in their life
they can make a statement.
They get a microphone, and at an international level. So who is it Nancy Pelosi to tell them what to say or not say? Like I told you, I don't think she have a problem with the figure skater talking about their non-gendered. But that's a political statement. It is a political statement in itself, and everybody, and that's acceptable in the U.S. No one's going to – it's not it's whatever they want to say about themselves. But in China –
yeah.
Quite a statement. They would not accept that from their own citizens. They don't have a gender. I mean, and a lot of the world would be like kind of rubbing their head a little bit about that. Again, already within the first 3 hours of the Olympics starting, even before the opening ceremony, there were politics at play by our own athletes.
No.
Did she not have a problem with that because it wasn't about China?
Well, that's
the issue.
Yes. The issue is if you're saying something about China, here's the answer. Don't. Don't even infer that there's anything.
About you, it's okay.
About yourself, maybe that's fine, yeah. Because that's you talking about yourself. But it's about China, don't do it.
Yeah, and I think that's the smart thing for our athletes to do. When you get to a microphone, say, you know, I'm thankful that I come from the most wonderful country in the world where we have true freedom and liberty. You can brag on America, and the rest of the world will hear that, and they get the message.
Yeah, there's so many ways to do it without being like, you don't have to be like the massive, right. You don't have to call out specific, like she did. You don't have to call them ruthless. You don't have to say genocide. You just talk about your own country. But, you know, that's not cool. That's not okay right now.
United States of America, where you could say all of these things.
She wouldn't like that, though, because they're trying to rewrite the history of that.
That's true.
Well, that is true, but we should like that.
Patriotism has been, you know, it's an interesting time because it's the one time the left is kind of okay with some patriotism because the athletes.
Right.
But not really. Would that statement, again, upset them, too? Back to the phones, we go Teresa in Illinois, online 3. Hey, Teresa.
Hey, how are you, George? And hi, Jay.
Hey.
What I hear when I hear Nancy say those things is that sending a message to China that, you know, if our athletes get out of hand, if they say anything, you have free range, and we're not going to We understand. Whatever happens to their family, whatever happens to them, we're okay with it because they got out of hand. I just, that's what I hear. I could be wrong.
Yeah, can we not protect our own athletes or their families who are here? They're that concerned that she felt like we needed to silence our athletes, tell them, shut up, say nothing, do your competition.
And get out.
And get out. And
hopefully don't get
and
sick.
And by the way, maybe then your family won't be destroyed.
Well, that's
the ruthless Chinese. I mean, these are her words.
This is what's showing the weakness of it, projecting for the United States weakness. And right now we need to, on the world stage, and this is the world stage, we need to be protecting strength and power, and we're doing, Wes, the exact opposite.
Yeah, and the Chinese and the Russians,
they love it.
They are experts on taking our own rhetoric. They use un-American, you know, criticism of our country by the left in America against us. If we take a stand against China or Russia, they take the rhetoric of systemic racism or defund the police or whatever, and they throw it back in our face. You know, the left in America, they need a big dose of grace and gratitude. We are not perfect. But we are a noble experiment in human freedom and democracy, unlike any other nation in the world. And the hypercriticism, the communists, whether, you know, the Russians, I think, are still largely communists, whether they're in China or Russia, they will use that rhetoric against us to excuse their behavior and basically say, who do you think you are criticizing us?
Listen, you know, I would take this in mind. Remember, there's a group of people. We're a freedom-loving country to the point where you could turn on the TV and be offended constantly, and that's wonderful. So, I mean, I'm watching Fox News right now as we speak. Caitlyn Jenner's there. You know, we and she is part of the female panel on Outnumbered. It's not the, you know, they've clearly this is, I'm a female, that's how I'm identifying. There's a male who, by the way, is African-American and gay, but a conservative who's in the other panel. That's America on in many American ways. TV. On the conservative channel,
right.
The right-wing channel in America, that would be highly offensive in many countries around the world. That could get you killed. That's what makes America different. We allow, whether you like it or not, whether you support it or not, you turn on your TV, you will see things you might not like, see things you might question, see things that make you shake your head, but that's America. That's what we try to export to the world when you can. But some countries decide, we don't want any of that. We don't want that, and they've chosen their path. China had the opportunity multiple times throughout their recent modern history to choose the right path to improve, and they said no.
Yeah, and they said no, and they get rewarded for their activities by doing what? They've created havoc in the world, and they get the Olympics. Now the people say, well, they got the Olympics right before they got, they created COVID. Well, you know what? There should have been a penalty. And maybe the penalty was there are other places we could have had the Olympics and stadiums would have been ready. But that's not what happened. So what we need to do, I'm going to support our athletes because our athletes are there. And I'm going to support the fact that we allow, like you just said, diversity of opinions and views. That's what free speech is all about. Ira Glasser, the former executive director of the ACLU, was on TV yesterday. And he said the ACLU is no longer the champions of free speech because it's politically correct free speech. And he's right. We need free speech. That means diversity of views. Sometimes you'll hear things you don't like. I was thinking about this with, you know, some of these protests that have gone on. And we, you know, you don't like their actions, and I get that. But, you know, people can think that. You know, actions have consequences, but you get to have thought, but not in communist China. And
no.
That's the difference. And now we're telling our athletes,
we can't,
you don't have it either.
And we can't protect you.
And we can't protect you. We're the United States.
Which, again, it talks to that bigger issue that we project weakness to the world. We'll talk to you on Monday.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.